Welcome to HN Pod, the daily show where we dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is episode 352, and we are covering all the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, March 31st, 2026.
We have a really packed and honestly pretty wild lineup today. The JavaScript ecosystem is on fire right now, starting with a massive leak of Anthropic's unreleased Claude Code source code, followed by a deeply sophisticated supply chain attack on the Axios library. Then we will look at Oracle's brutal sudden layoff of 30,000 employees. And finally, a sobering and incredibly detailed piece on why NASA's Artemis II mission might be fundamentally unsafe to fly.
Let us kick things off with the NPM drama, because it was a doubleheader yesterday. Anthropic accidentally leaked the complete source code for Claude Code, their command line AI agent. They shipped a source map file inside their NPM drackage. For anyone unfamiliar, a source map is basically a translation file that links minified, production-ready JavaScript back to its original readable source code. It is great for debugging, but you definitely do not want to publish it for your proprietary flagship product.
Exactly. They realized the mistake and pulled the package. But as we know, the internet never forgets. A developer named Treex posted the Twitter link that kicked off the discussion, and the community immediately started digging into the code. The thread racked up nearly 2,000 points, and what people found inside was fascinating. There was a whole separate post by Alex Kim breaking down the findings that also hit the top of the front page.
Yeah, Alex's breakdown was incredible. The leaked code revealed Anthropic's internal roadmap through a bunch of feature flags. There is an unreleased autonomous agent mode codenamed Kairos. There is a Tamagotchi-style companion creature system with ASCII art called the Buddy System, which some commenters suspect was prepped for an April Fool's joke. But the two things that really got Hacker News talking were the anti-distillation measures and something called undercover mode.
The anti-distillation stuff is so clever. Basically, if the system detects that someone is using Claude Code to generate massive amounts of data to train a competing AI model, it silently injects fake tool definitions into the system prompt. It's a poison pill for copycats. But undercover mode is what really sparked a massive ethical debate in the comments.
Right. Undercover mode is a feature that strips out all Anthropic internal information when their employees use Claude Code to contribute to open source projects. That part makes sense. You don't want to leak internal code names like Capybara or Tengu. But the prompt explicitly instructs the AI to hide the fact that it is an AI. It tells it to never use the phrase Claude Code, never include a co-authored byline, and actively pretend to be a human developer.
The HN comments were incredibly divided on this. One user pointed out how deceptive it is to push non-deterministic AI-generated code into public repositories without attribution. But then another user countered by saying, well, my linter and my autoformatter do not add co-authored bylines to my commits, so why should my AI assistant?
And that sparked the classic debate about the nature of LLMs. A linter is deterministic, you know exactly what it is doing. An LLM is probabilistic. As one commenter put it, if you were introducing code that you did not entirely write and might contain subtle hallucinations, the maintainers of that open source project deserve to know the context. It is a fascinating look at how companies are trying to normalize AI coding by just blending it in seamlessly, for better or worse.
Speaking of things blending in seamlessly on NPM, we have to talk about the Axios compromise. This was the second biggest story yesterday with almost 1,800 points. Axios is arguably the most popular HTTP client library in the JavaScript world. It gets over 100 million downloads a week. And yesterday, malicious versions were published that dropped a remote access Trojan on macOS, Windows, and Linux machines.
This was not your run-of-the-mill script kiddie attack. The security firm Step Security caught it, and their breakdown showed an incredibly sophisticated operation. The attacker hijacked the NPM account of a lead Axios maintainer. They pre-staged a fake dependency called Plain Crypto.js 18 hours in advance. They built specific payloads for all three major operating systems, and they bypassed GitHub Actions entirely by using a stolen NPM access token to manually publish the poisoned versions.
The scariest part is that there were zero lines of malicious code inside Axios itself. It was entirely hidden in the post-install script of that fake dependency. Within 2 seconds of a developer typing npm install, the malware was already calling home to the attacker server, delivering the payload and then deleting itself to replace its own package JSON with a clean decoy. If you looked in your node modules folder afterward, everything looked totally normal.
The Hacker News discussion quickly pivoted to the broader structural issues in modern software development. A user named Bob1029 made a highly upvoted comment arguing that batteries-included ecosystems are the only persistent solution to this problem. They pointed out that if you are using Go or .NET, things like HTTP clients and string sanitization are built into the standard library. You do not need to vendor out critical infrastructure to third parties.
Yeah, the contrast between the Node ecosystem and something like Python or .NET really came into focus. Though, as another commenter pointed out, even Python just had a major PyPI compromise recently. But the general consensus was that the JavaScript ecosystem's reliance on thousands of micro-dependencies creates an attack surface that is almost impossible to defend perfectly. If a package with 100 million weekly downloads can be compromised by a single stolen token, the foundation is inherently fragile.
Moving from fragile code to fragile employment, our next story is about Oracle. Yesterday morning, Oracle slashed roughly 30,000 jobs. That is 18% of their global workforce. And the way they did it was absolutely brutal.
It really was. According to the article from Rolling Out, employees received a generic email at 6 in the morning Eastern Time. No heads up from HR, no meetings with their managers. Just an email saying their roles were eliminated, their access was revoked, and their unvested stock units were immediately forfeited.
The cuts hit teams across the board, from revenue and health sciences to NetSuite developers in India. And the context here is what makes it so jarring. Oracle just posted a massive 95% jump in net income last quarter, but they are making an aggressive, debt-heavy pivot into artificial intelligence infrastructure. They have taken on $58 billion in new debt in just 2 months to fund a massive build-out of AI data centers.
The Hacker News comments were a mix of sympathy for the workers and deep cynicism about Oracle's business model. A user named Kyle Drake asked a genuine question that sparked a massive thread. They asked, "What exactly is the value proposition of Oracle in 2026? They described it as an expensive database sold to golf executives, especially when there are so many free, better alternatives out there now.
The history lesson in the replies was great. A user named Sean Hunter explained that back in the early 2000s, if you needed high availability and vertical scalability, Oracle and Sybase were really the only games in town. MySQL had terrible locking issues back then, and Postgres could not handle always-on use cases without shutting down for backups. But today, the open-source alternatives have completely caught up, and it is mostly just legacy lock-in keeping Oracle's database business afloat."
It is a classic corporate story. Record profits on one side, massive debt for the new shiny AI thing on the other, and 30,000 regular people lose their livelihoods via an automated morning email to balance the spreadsheet. It really highlights the lack of loyalty in the current tech landscape.
Our final story today is a long, incredibly well-researched piece by Maciej Chiglowski on his blog Idle Words, titled "Artemis 2 is Not Safe to Fly." This got over 800 points, and the discussion was incredibly serious. For context, NASA is preparing to send 4 astronauts around the moon on the Artemis 2 mission using the Orion capsule. But Maciej lays out a terrifying case that the heat shield on this capsule is fundamentally defective.
The details are harrowing. When NASA flew the uncrewed Artemis 1 mission in 2022, the heat shield experienced severe damage during reentry. It is made of a material called Avcoat, which is supposed to char and flake off smoothly. Instead, large chunks of it blew out, leaving deep gouges. Even worse, 3 out of 4 large separation bolts embedded in the shield actually melted through. The Office of the Inspector General released a report showing that this damage could have killed a crew in 3 different ways, including vehicle breakup from hot gas ingestion.
And instead of redesigning the shield and doing another uncrewed test flight, which is exactly what they would demand from SpaceX or Boeing, NASA is pushing ahead with a crewed flight. They convened an independent review panel, blamed the issue on trapped gas, and basically decided to just tweak the reentry trajectory and hope for the best. They are even planning to replace the heat shield design entirely for Artemis 3, which means they are flying Artemis 2 with a shield they already know is a dead end.
The Hacker News community immediately drew parallels to the darkest chapters of NASA's history. A commenter named Chad mentioned they were literally guest lecturing at a Harvard class the next day on systemic failures and decision-making, using the Challenger and Columbia disasters as case studies. They said they were updating their slides that night to include Artemis 2, because the exact same broken safety culture is playing out in real time.
Yeah, the freeze success-oriented planning came up a lot.
It is this toxic management culture where the schedule and the budget become immovable objects, so the organization starts quietly cutting into safety margins to make things fit. Charles Camarda, who is a former shuttle astronaut and a literal heat shield expert, has been blowing the whistle on this. He attended a NASA briefing earlier this year and published a letter saying NASA is relying on toy models and motivated reasoning to justify flying. They are basically making a vibe-based decision on astronaut safety.
One of the most chilling details from the comments was a quote from Camarda's document mentioning that the new NASA administrator, Jared Isaacman, started a critical meeting by declaring the decision to launch with a crew was final before anyone even presented their data. When leadership decides the outcome before looking at the engineering reality, disaster usually follows. It is a really sobering read, and I highly recommend checking out the full IdleWords article if you want to understand the engineering and organizational failures at play here.
It really ties together a theme for today's episode, honestly. Whether it's trusting AI code in our open source repositories, trusting the NPM packages we install, trusting our employers to treat us like human beings, or trusting a space agency to prioritize lives over schedules, it all comes down to the systems we build and the incentives that drive them.
Beautifully said, Mike. That is going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for listening to HN Pod. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to all the articles and discussions we covered today.
We will be back tomorrow with another breakdown of the top stories from Hacker News. Until then, keep building and stay safe out there.